It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! We're here live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Don't worry, you're not on the wrong channel. You are listening to Cofield and Company, but Cofield is off in Corvallis, Oregon State, UNLV tomorrow night. You get Danny and Greg.
Lucky you.
I think they're pretty lucky. Why not? Great conversations being had. So, like I was telling you during the commercial break, we did get a text from Patrick on the text line. Don't be afraid to text us. Let us know your thoughts, what you like, what you don't like, what you're doing this weekend, all that kind of fun jazz, 364-1100. Patrick says, born and raised out here back in the 90s, they used to serve kids meals on Frisbees. It was called Fritz Burger. I miss the Oasis Bar and Grill off of Rainbow and Cheyenne. A lot of good memories there when I was growing up.
Okay. That makes more sense now.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, great food. Go check it out.
Ooh, Rainbow and Cheyenne. I used to live over there. Good times.
Yeah?
Yeah. I lived on Cheyenne and... What is the... Never mind.
That's good, Danny.
Never mind. Oh, Rancho. Cheyenne and Rancho. That's where I used to live.
I don't regret forgetting the name of the Oregon State quarterback. Or whatever.
Hey, there's many roads. It's a nice place over there, you know?
Where?
Cheyenne and Rancho.
I guess.
I used to love going to the Texas Station. That place was great. Drive-in yeah. Movie theaters right there.
Yeah. Great place to buy a teeth.
Greg. But yeah, so we are here, Golden Circle. Come on down, hang out. We still have plenty of things to give away. We have two more four-packs of UNLV Boise State tickets for next Friday. It is Nevada Day. There are plenty of things. That day is loaded here in town with sports. You got... In the morning, you got the Henderson Silver Knights. I believe that game starts at 11. And then at 3 o'clock, you got the Golden Knights. And then at, what time is this game? At 7:30, you have the Rebels taking on the Broncos. You could go see all three.
It's good. Do you know what Nevada Day is?
It is October 25th.
No, I'm saying, do you know why we have it?
I'm assuming it's the day that the state was founded, but I'm probably wrong.
No, you're actually right. But it's weird because it says here that it was commemorated at the state on October 31st, which is Halloween.
Yes. So a few years ago, they would always celebrate it on the 31st. Mm. And then they decided to change it to the last Friday of October.
So instead of first Friday, it's last Friday.
For Nevada Day, yes.
Okay.
So next year, it'll be on next year, Halloween's going to be on a Friday because it's a Thursday this year. So Nevada Day will be on its actual Nevada Day.
My other local holiday I love, have you ever celebrated Fifth Man Day?
No, I don't know what that is. Tell me about it.
Today, here in town.
Fifth Man Day?
Yeah. We used to call our listeners the Fifth Man on Comp, so we wrote to the mayor and got delegated August 5th as Fifth Man Day.
August 5th?
Yeah.
So it's a real thing.
I have an actual document. I have the whole folder and everything. It's an actual day.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How did you go about doing that?
You go down to the city, county building or whatever it is, the court, you know, whatever, the building downtown.
City Hall?
Yeah, that's it. City Hall. And you get in an elevator and you go upstairs and it kind of smells a little bit. But you go upstairs and you go down this hallway and you fill up form out and then they let you know. And then a couple weeks later, they let us know we got it. I was like, cool.
We should come up with a day.
That's what I was thinking. We should do that for this show.
What would you make it?
Well, it can't be Fifth Man because we don't really do that.
No. Plus, where's 3 and 4? Anyways, we'll think about that.
Okay.
Right now, we are pleased to be joined by Eric Lampkins. He covers the Rams. Eric, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing good. It is a glorious fall day here in Las Vegas. It's actually pretty chilly. Got the wind going. We're looking at mid-60s. A lot of people probably aren't really ready for this weather just yet here in Vegas.
You know what? It's you guys. It sounds as if you guys are getting a tail end of our weather. Last week it was pretty chilly. It's you know, right back to being a beautiful standard 75 degrees here in Los Angeles.
So you guys are by the water, and it tends to be a little cooler there. How do people in Southern California handle colder weather? Because here, as soon as it hits 60s, people are in like pants and a jacket. Some of them have
suit of armor
on. Like, yeah, they're ready for the snow to fall in 65 degree weather.
Well, when it gets about 60 degrees, you'll see a ton of bubble jackets, pea coats. People are layering. God forbid any precipitation fall from the sky, because, you know, then it's Armageddon. Everybody forgets how to drive and, you know, function out here in Los Angeles.
We're talking to Eric Lampkins. He covers the Rams for the Sporting Tribune. Eric, so the Raiders, they play in L.A. this week. And a lot of talk is anytime the Raiders are in L.A., their fans take over SoFi, which is weird because it's the exact opposite when someone comes here to Vegas. What are you seeing a whole lot of Raiders people there? I know they already have a bit of a fan base there, but are you seeing more than regular?
I would say throughout the course of the year, Raider fans tend to be the obnoxious fan base here in the city, and they're extra obnoxious this week. It seems as though a lot of the fans from Oakland, from the Bay Area, have come down to the city, and those from Las Vegas are starting to converge. You're starting to see a ton of Raider flags on the freeway. You're seeing them on City Walk. You're seeing them downtown. So it seems as though it'll be Allegiant East out here, or Allegiant West this Sunday.
If the Raiders lose this game, let's say the Rams wind up winning, I mean, they're 1-4 right now. Does this give them any kind of hope, or is it right now kind of like they're down in the dumps right now?
You know what? I think this is a must-win game for the Rams. You know, since 2002, I want to say there's only been one team to start 1-4 and make the playoffs, and that was the New York Jets. So the odds are really stacked against the Rams right now. You know, they're competing in the division against the 49ers and the Seahawks. You know, my prognostication is that the 49ers are going to win the division. So in order to keep pace with, you know, the rest of the conference, Los Angeles has to win this game. They can ill afford to lose too many games and still make the playoffs. So if any game is a winnable game and a must-win game, it's this upcoming game against Las Vegas.
Well, according to the books here in town and around the rest of the country, it seems like the Rams have a pretty good chance, as they are 7-point favorites going up against the Raiders this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty accurate. You know, sans the game against the Arizona Cardinals, every game that the Rams have competed in has been a one-score game. They've lost three, and they've really been in every single game. So if the Rams are able to just be competent on offense, which has really been a remarkable feat at the hands of Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, this team has been a quilt of competency behind a patchwork offense. You know, the pass catchers have struggled to consistently beat man-to-man coverage, and the offensive line has been a turnstile. Nonetheless, Matthew Stafford has ensured that these Rams are in every single game. I know Kyren Williams is struggling in terms of yards per carry. However, he's scored in every single game. He has 7 touchdowns on the year, and I anticipate and expect that trend to continue.
And we've seen these Rams so far this year. They're pretty beat up. Cooper Kupp, one of those who have been hurt this season. What's going on with him? Are we going to see him this weekend, or is he still trying to come back from his injuries?
So the past 2 days, he was out on the practice field. He was extremely limited. However, he looks as spry and as swift and as sly. Before he was injured, he's still dynamic at the top of his routes. He's still unguardable at the line of scrimmage. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cooper Kupp played.
Talking to Eric Lampkins, Rams insider, Raiders traveling out to L.A. How do other teams see the Raiders, like from your perspective? Because, we live in kind of a Raiders bubble here. We're in Vegas. We only kind of hear what they want us to hear. How do teams look at the Raiders? They've had the problems at quarterback. Defense hasn't been what they thought. Davante Adams, all that stuff. Are they looking at this game as, like, what are the strengths and weaknesses of the Raiders to the Rams?
You know what is the perception of the Raiders for a lot of people who aren't Raider fans is that this is a model of futility and a commitment to mediocrity. How they're perceived is that every game the Raiders play is a very winnable game for the opposing team. Prior to the trade of Davante Adams, a lot was voting in the favor of the Raiders with Brock Bowers. I really saw that as a dynamic two-headed monster. You factor in Jacoby Myers into the equation. That's a pretty adept passing game. However, the rushing attack that has been absolutely abysmal and alarmingly atrocious. The Raiders, I want to say, are last in rushing this season. I know they ranked 31st. In terms of rushing yards, and if you can stop the Raiders rushing attack, this team can be had. I know Aiden O'Connell, I believe, will be under center this Sunday, and in 400 snaps, he hasn't scrambled one time. So the Rams know that he is a statue in the pocket, and Byron Young and Jared Verse are licking their chops, knowing that they can get home to this quarterback. Now, in terms of where there are opportunities for the Raiders, there are ample opportunities in their passing game to exploit a pretty poo cheese and putrid passing offense. The Rams, I want to say, rank 31st in the league. In the event that Aiden O'Connell is able to be kept clean by Colton Miller, who I believe is playing, the Raiders can move the ball down the field in the passing game. And I know, again, the Raiders have struggled in terms of rushing the ball, but if their front five, if their offensive line can get to the second level, if they can just put their hands on Troy Reader and Christian Roseboom, I anticipate Zamir White and Alexander Mattison will have a very big day.
Has there been any sort of update on Puka Nacua?
There hasn't been an update. we do see him around the facility, training on a side field. He looks as if he's not far away from returning. I don't anticipate that it will be in the next 2 weeks. I think in about 3 weeks, they'll open up his practice window and he'll return to action shortly.
So with, obviously, Stafford built a very strong relationship with Kupp over the first couple years there, and then we also saw him build a relationship with Nacua last year, who had a very explosive rookie season. Who is Stafford now leaning on in the passing game?
You know what? It's been a patchwork. It's really whoever is open. Sean McVay is doing a great job of scheming people open. If I had to pick one person, I would say it would be Tutu Atwell, who has 4.3 speed and the ability to stretch the field. Jordan Whittington has been working a lot of the intermediate underneath routes. He injured his shoulder. I believe he's questionable to play. Tyler Johnson, he's a pretty adept route runner who Matthew has gone to in key moments. But there's another name, Xavier Smith, who really hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities to touch the field on offense. But, you know, against the 49ers, he had a huge punt return. The dude is lightning quick, and his hands are remarkable. So I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier Smith is a name that pops up on the radar of fantasy football players this week.
If there's a part of the schedule you think for the Rams that's the best, is it the one coming up here? Because it seems like they've had some pretty bad luck. I mean, I know the record stinks, but they could have been better. Is there a thought here that maybe, you know, they beat the Raiders, McVay goes on a little bit of a roll, obviously he's a great coach, maybe he gets it figured out?
You know what? I really wouldn't put it past them, with the exception of the Vikings on Thursday. The Rams, the next five games are all winnable games. I know they play Vegas on Sunday, November 3rd. They play the Seahawks. Then they face the Dolphins and the Patriots. So if they are able to win four of those five games, I think they're right back in the thick of things in terms of the playoff race.
Just to switch things up a little bit, again, we're here with Eric Lampkins. He covers the Rams for the Sporting Tribune. Eric, you went to the Intuit Dome a couple days ago. Tell us about what all you saw and why did it feel like you were in a new video game?
You know what? That place is a cathedral of pandemonium. It wasn't as if the arena was packed, but it is loud. The acoustics of the arena stay on the court right where the wall is right next to the visiting team's bench. And it's loud from tip off till the final buzzer. It reminded me of watching a simulation of NBA 2K. That's how the arena looks. It's an absolute marvel. It's a masterpiece. And it has the potential of being a very raucous environment. There aren't that many Clipper fans here in Los Angeles. They are the perpetual little brother here in the city. However, I think this arena and its design bodes well for the five Clipper fans that are in Los Angeles.
Well, since we're talking about the Clippers already, obviously we had news yesterday that Kawhi is going to be out again for an indefinite amount of time. Is there any talk out there that this might be it for him with the Clippers and that, you know, it's enough's enough already?
You know what? I think what Kawhi is facing is the same degenerative knee issue that Todd Gurley had. Regardless of how much rest he gets, regardless of how many platelet injections he gets, his knee is just deteriorating in real time. It makes absolutely no sense why the Clippers would pick Paul or opt to allow Paul George to leave a free agency and re-sign Kawhi Leonard. I understand that when Kawhi is healthy, he's still a top five, top 10 player, but the best ability is availability, and Kawhi is never healthy. And so I think right now they're in a transitory state. By default, this becomes James Harden's team. I think the Clippers are very ill-equipped to play in the fashion in which complements James's style of play. They're extremely young. Ty Lue, I know on Tuesday, was really preaching patience in terms of getting the young guys up to speed. They're going to need a lot of shooting. Terrence Mann, I think this is a huge opportunity for him to take a step forward and put his name in the conversation for most improved players. But if you had to ask me today if I was betting on which team was going to the playoffs out of Los Angeles, it's definitely not the Clippers. It would be the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right, one more, Eric, before we get you out of here. A couple days ago, Tom Brady's ownership for the Raiders was approved. He also is the color commentator for Fox on their top broadcast crew, but his job and what he can do is severely limited because of being an owner. What are your thoughts on him now being a minority owner in the Raiders and also going forward as being a broadcaster?
You know what? Tom Brady, I think it bodes well for his portfolio to, you know, have 10% ownership in the Raiders. I think it does wonders for athletes as they transition from the playing field or court to the front office. I think it's a huge preparation for LeBron James as he winds down his career, and there's ample talks of basketball, the NBA coming to Las Vegas. But let's be honest, Tom Brady sucks as a commentator, so I think it only behooves him to leave the press box and just focus on building winning culture in Las Vegas. That's what they're missing. Tom Brady knows what it is to win in two different locations. So, you know, it would just help his portfolio out even more if he got competent management, not only on the sideline but in the front office, to turn this thing around for Las Vegas. Raider fans deserve it.
Well, he is Eric Lampkins from the Sporting Tribune, covering all things Rams as well as other things going on in L.A. Eric, what do you got coming out that people can look forward to?
I am working on an article about verbal warfare, so trash talk in the NFL. Stay tuned for that. And I'll be covering the Lakers as the beat writer, or one of the primary beat writers for the Sporting Tribune as well. I also contribute to the Culver City Observer, where I cover everything from high school sports to the NBA. And Arash Markazi and my guy Michael Matthew, we are starting a LA-based podcast. We are the Misfits, so stay tuned for that.
All right, awesome. Well, he is Eric Lampkins again from the Sporting Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at ELamSquared. Eric, we appreciate you joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you all, and I'll talk to you again soon. What's up?
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
All right, there he goes, Eric Lampkins. We are down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, so come on down and hang out. The Yankees and Guardians game is underway. Dodgers did lose to the Mets in the earlier game, but this game is already filled with action. So come on down, hang out. There are plenty of seats available, and parking is always free. But before I get you out of here, let's do another giveaway, huh?
That sounds great.
We got two tickets for Sam Hunt next Friday the 25th, live in concert at the Fountain Blue Las Vegas. You can also get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, but we are giving away two tickets right now for next Friday's show. He is also there on Saturday as well. But these tickets, next Friday, Fountain Blue, caller number 4, 364-1100, two tickets to Sam Hunt, caller 4, 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
That's right. We are down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on down. Parking is always free. Plenty of games, plenty of TVs on, games all around. We got Oregon and Purdue. Oregon's up 7-0. And then the, what are we watching? The Yankees. Yankees and Guardians are on. That is going to the second inning. And Greg is very scared of this game.
I just know they're going to lose.
Nah, have confidence in your team.
Nah.
Anyways, you are here with Danny and Greg. However, we have a special guest on, one who this show might be named after. Steve, how you doing?
I'm good. Why is Greg scared of every game? You're the favorite. Relax. Relax.
Because if I get my hopes up and then I get sad if something bad happens, so I try to, like, you know, emotional hedge and just be like, they're going to lose, so if they lose, I don't care.
So low expectations is the key to life.
Exactly. I want to be a bad team like Danny's team, so I don't think I'm going to win the World Series.
No, you don't. You know you don't want that. You're feeling it. You're feeling it right now with your 500 Eagles.
That's true. You're 100% right.
You're exactly taking the Ed Graney approach with a fan of the best team in the league, and he always thinks they're going to lose.
Yeah, I know. But whatever.
So, Steve, I heard you were on vacation. How was it?
It was good. I spent a few days in New Orleans, and then upon getting back, I flew here to Oregon. So the UNLV team's actually staying in Eugene about 45 miles away from Corvallis, so they're playing Oregon State in Corvallis, so they just got here to Eugene, Oregon.
I know you you normally do Broadcaster Bites, which is where you talk about any of the places that you and the rest of the broadcast crew, Caleb and Matt and Everett, go to whenever you're on the road. Are we going to get Vacation Bites?
Yes, you'll get that, and then we also missed recapping last week, which I want to get Greg's take on this as a hefty guy, because I'm also a chubby guy. Are you pro buffet? Like, we're talking like kind of like mid-level buffet, and not Vegas, because we hit a buffet in Utah, and for everyone else, it was an absolute disaster. For me, I actually enjoyed it, but everyone else was very picky and very annoyed.
You know what? I am pro buffet, and not even when I'm fat. Even when I was thin, I was pro buffet because I'm kind of weird. Like, I can't eat the same thing twice. So, like, if I take a few bites of pizza, all of a sudden I want, like, a chicken finger. Or, you know, because a buffet, I could sample a bunch of different things. So even if I wasn't being a complete lard ass, I would still go to a buffet.
Wait, you have to eat a different thing, what, every meal? Or you can never eat, like, back-to-back lunches of, like, a turkey sandwich? What do you mean you can't eat the same thing?
Like, even bites. Like, when I was a little kid, my mom said I would take a bite of a chip, and then I'd take a sandwich, and then I would take a bite of something. Like, I'm a weirdo. Like, I can't. Like, I'll eat tacos, like, from one side, and then I'll start on the other side. I swear. And they're, like, okay. In the middle.
The front and the back of the taco taste different?
Like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I just feel like I have to go to the other side. I'm like, maybe it's OCD or something. I don't know. OBCD? I don't know what it is.
Well, this place would have been perfect for you because everyone else gave it a bad grade.
I mean, was it crappy food?
It was buffet food. I mean, buffet food, a lot of times, is kind of plain. You gotta dress it up. You got to put some gravy on it. You got to do some mixes.
Yeah.
Their biggest problem was they went to the carving station at a place at 8:15 at night. They closed at 9, and they were not bringing out fresh meat. So it was just all dried out meat. And I'm like, don't eat that stuff. You can see it's been under the heat lamp forever. And, you know, no matter how deep they cut into it, it's going to be garbage.
Yeah, sometimes you get that roast beef that looks like an oil spill on the ground or whatever. It's got, like, different colors on it. You don't want that at all.
Looks like fish scales.
Yeah.
This piece of roast beef was kind of scaly.
Can you give us a little hint as to what we can look forward to in terms of whether it was good or bad, one of the meals that stuck out?
Are you talking, what, on vacation in New Orleans?
Yeah.
I go down there and I have jambalaya gumbo or something along those lines almost every meal. So, yeah, we had awesome gumbo. The biggest thing for me is when I go to New Orleans, I traipse around town. I try to discover different areas. So that's one of my favorite towns. It's basically Vegas, but super old and super gritty and kind of dirty. So it has the same feel. It's very – it can be touristy, but if you find the hot spots, you know, or the hidden spots around town, then you're good to go.
We are talking to Steve Cofield, the normal host of this show. However, he is out of town, so Greg and I took over. You can also hear him tomorrow night on the road. UNLV is taking on Oregon State. And, Steve, UNLV is looking to not bounce back. They got a win last week against Utah State. But one of the questions I had for you was, in the defensive side, they did give up quite a bit of pass yards, and they have now allowed over 350, I believe, three straight weeks. Is that just due to I know last week, was that due to just having a big lead, or was there something else going on that maybe they weren't ready for from Petras that they're looking to improve this week?
By the way, Greg, did Danny just let us inside the press box mindset there? That they won 50-34, and he was like, oh, they got to bounce back. I assume you guys talked about the pass defense a lot on the show, which is fine, because that could become their undoing down the road. I don't know if it'll be in this one. I think in that game, I think they had such a comfortable lead. The other thing is, if you actually track the plays and the guys who were logging plays, one, several dudes got hurt or precautionary injuries where you took them out. So a lot of the backups got reps in that one. But, yeah, I think Petras is actually a pretty good quarterback. He was able to throw on Boise State when they got up big. But, yeah, I mean, it's still – listen, their run defense is very good. They're allowing, I think it's 99 yards per game, so you're talking about top 20 run defense. They got to get better on the back end of the pass. And this could be a game where there's a little bit of a threat, although in this case McCoy is not a big thrower. He's got two touchdowns against five interceptions. But certainly – Boise State last year, if they can get through this one, Boise State came into the game last year and said, we are going to throw on these guys, and they took a bunch of deep shots. And they basically softened up the defense by throwing early and then just annihilated them with Ashton Genty in quarters 2, 3, and 4. So, yeah, there's definitely questions on the pass defense. And to me, the biggest thing to help protect the back end is to get pressure, get quarterbacks off their spot. And they really didn't do that in the second half against Petrus.
It's Greg Salerno interviewing Steve Cofield on Cofield & Company. I was wondering, tomorrow, do you think that – I don't want to be this guy, but is this like a look past game maybe? Like a game, because, you know, Boise, big game next week. Everyone's talking about it. Huge game. Nevada Day, all this stuff. I think it's like even homecoming, Danny said. Is there any chance of like looking past this team?
Yes. But luckily it's not at home and it's on the road and it's against a team that was in the Pac-12 and is reforming the new Pac-12. I know kids pay attention to a certain extent that, hey, this conference snubbed UNLV. Well, they invited them late, but they didn't invite them amongst their first fourth in the Mountain West Conference. So I think there's plenty of reasons to look at this and go, hey, this has traditionally been a Pac-12 school. It's a road environment. It's supposed to be crazy here tomorrow night. Again, we're here in Eugene. We're going to be down the road in Corvallis, but it's going to be a crazy environment. And I haven't seen many cases with UNLV, and maybe they did let down a little bit in the second half against Utah State once they were up 41-7, but I haven't seen many cases where they weren't focused on the prize, and they know what the prize is. They still want to win the conference championship. They want to get to this Boise game with only one loss. So is there a slight chance they could be looking ahead? Yeah, but the storylines in this team are so crazy. The guys are still trying to prove themselves. So many guys are coming down from Power 5 and Power 4. So a lack of focus, I don't think, will be a problem. Now, we talked about the defense. The defense is getting a little bit beat up, so there are going to be some starters who are out tomorrow, so that could be a concern in this one. But in terms of look ahead, I think they'll be focused.
Do you think that if they win this game, that at the game next week, let's say they win this week and they win next week, are they going to be bowl game eligible? What are the odds that they'll make a bowl? I mean, do you think that's it because the schedule down the end is not going to be as bad?
All they got to do is get the 6 wins. So they're at 5-1 right now. So if they win tomorrow, that gets them bowl eligible. And then that Boise game should be one of the biggest group of 5 games the entire season. They met up last year in the championship game. Boise got them on the home field. And in this case, UNLV really wants to win this one to make sure that if they lose anymore, that they would have home field in the Mountain West Conference championship game. But that Boise game is gigantic because they point back to it over and over and over again during the offseason. They finished 9-3 in the regular season. They lost their they lost their last 3 games, but they lost the Boise game, and they really kind of faltered on defense. So, that's unfinished business from a year ago that they want to go out and pound Boise, and I'm sure they would love to at least not derail Ashton Genty's Heisman hopes, but at least put a game up on the board where he doesn't go for 250 yards. So there's going to be plenty of motivation going into that one. There's so many goals for this squad because, making a bowl game was kind of a cool thing last year. They hadn't made it since, Caleb Herring, one of the broadcast voices of the team, was in school 10 years before that. So bowl game is one goal this season, and I think beyond that, they want to be in a college football playoff field. So that if they beat Boise and they could run the table, which I don't think they will, but if they could, they'd be in a really good spot to get a high seed and make things really interesting.
We're seeing that they're going to be opening more seats. And last year when Boise came down for the Mountain West Championship game, they had a little over 31,000 people. Greg told me earlier in the show that the record is somewhere in the 32,000s. Do you think we could see a bigger crowd than that? Because at Syracuse, I believe we heard that the attendance was around 31,000, if I'm not mistaken.
I think if they win this game, then they have a shot to go over 31,000. To me, this is kind of ridiculous talk. They should already be at a point where they're getting 37, 40,000. In Allegiant, but fans in Vegas are kind of slow to jump on board. UNLV football has been losing for so long. I think people want to see more and more to convince them. But if they can beat Oregon State here, and again, this is going to be a tough game. They're pretty sizable favorites, but I think it's a really rough game to get through. All the hype going into that game should get people to turn out. They should get 35 or 40,000. That is part of why they're opening up more seats. Next step they need to do is open up the freaking end zone seats, which is a little complication that they got to figure out with whoever, if it's with the stadium authority or with the Raiders, because right now the students are kind of high up and that one end zone is just empty concrete. So it would be nice to have enough demand to pull that thing out and then, eventually push it past 40,000 for UNLV football. And I don't see why. They're a fun team. to watch. They're a fun team to root for. I mean, right now, I don't even feel like they've clicked on offense rushing-wise, and they're fifth in the country with rushing yardage. Saluka goes bye-bye. Hajmalik Williams takes over. He's only completing 78% of his passes with 9 touchdowns and 1 interception and 325 yards rushing. I mean, it's a legit, cool football story. And the other thing is, for me, I would much rather root for the hometown guys, you know, guys who are actually pulled from Las Vegas, and they've got a bunch of hometown players on this team who are really, really good.
Over the last 3 weeks, we've seen a resurgence from Ricky White. He is he's looking like Ricky White of last year. He's got 27 catches, over 400 yards, and 5 touchdowns in those 3 games. Is this something that we should hope for, should expect going forward? Like, what are we going to see from Ricky White? We know that he is clearly Hajmalik Williams' number one target since he became the starting quarterback. Is this something that we're going to see for the last 6 games?
I think he's going to be good for 100 yards in at least 4 of the 6 games. I mean, you watch him, and just like Genty, you watch Asin Genty, and you're like, okay, this guy's a different level. Like, college players, not all of them are going to make the NFL. You see certain guys, and you're like, why does he look so much better than everyone else? And Asin Genty is one of those guys, and Ricky White is also one of those dudes. He was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. He went to Michigan State, so he went to big school. Had some issues there, landed at UNLV, and, when they've had a good throwing quarterback, he's been basically uncoverable, even with double coverage. And the thing is with UNLV, if you double cover, you try to bring help over to Ricky White, they can run something else in terms of the run game. They can, throw to Jacob DeJesus. They've got a good tight end who hasn't really gone off yet. They're starting to get that other wide receiver position role, and Casey Kane had a touchdown last week. No, but I think it's crazy to say every game he's going to get 100 yards. So the way he's playing right now, he seems to be good for 100 yards. And some of the catches he's making, he had 2 touchdown catches in the Utah State game that were just sick. I mean, both right on either in the corner of the end zone or on the sideline, and got his feet down, great concentration with the hands. I don't know if he's the best receiver they've ever had at UNLV, but he's got to be damn close in the top 3 of all time. He's an awesome college receiver.
Well, he is Steve Cofield, sideline reporter for UNLV football as well as UNLV basketball. You can hear him tomorrow. The game, I believe, it starts at 7:30, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yep, we'll go up at 6:30 with the Ted Wiens pregame show with Matt Nevert and Caleb Herring and a bunch of good preview interviews, and then I'll be down on the field with the latest on the injury front. We'll get the vibe of what the crowd is like. It should be pretty wild. It'll be a little bit nippy, a little bit chilly under the lights there. It's not a massive stadium, and I know the Oregon State fans have been talking trash for a couple of weeks, so it'll be cool bashing the Beavers if they can get it done.
Yep, and you can also hear him usually on this show, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, as well as the UNLV All Access Pod. And don't forget the Broadcaster Bites and everywhere else. He's all over town.
He's also on ESPN Monday through Friday on Cofield & Company.
Yeah.
By the way, Danny, that's a classic Salerno move right there. After you do a re-intro, he wasn't listening to the beginning of it, so he repeats the same exact thing. I love that. Well, he said at the beginning of the interview, he loses concentration on his food. He's got to bite one end and bite the other. But I appreciate the double re-intro there.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, Steve. You have fun up there.
All right, guys. See ya. Later.
Later.
Well, that was Steve Cofield. When we come back, we're going to put our hands in things and find topics. You're listening to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
11.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
See? You're sticking a hand in somewhere. That's exactly what I said. Going away. And Griffin gave me crap for it.
What?
He said it sounded gross. I said we're sticking our hand in something.
Oh. I'm not even going to bother with this.
Why not?
Because you're going to get me in trouble, and I don't want to. On a Friday, especially.
Oh, yeah, no go.
Can I tell you what just happened?
Yes, you can.
I know we're talking about living in the woods, but I just went to the restroom, and this is my mistake. I'm not blaming it on the casino.
Okay.
There's 2 things in there. There's a paper towel thing and a tissue thing.
Okay.
And
are
I was
they
drying
next to each other?
Yeah, and I was drying my hands off, and I grabbed the tissues on accident, ooh, and it like disintegrated on my hand.
Yeah.
Why does that happen? It's like cotton candy. It's like you ever go to a taco shop and you try to like blow your nose on those napkins they have?
No.
You never use the napkins for a taco shop? They come in like stacks, like this?
Yeah, I mean, I've used them to clean my hands, not
okay,
to
whatever. All right, blow your nose, clean your hand, whatever. If you want to dry your hands off or something, you need like an entire tropical rainforest of them.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, they're very, very thin and very
small. Is it because they're so thin?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, the water just goes
I always
right
wonder
through.
That, why they don't work.
You know? It's single ply.
Oh.
Yeah, those.
It's like if you pull a piece of toilet paper in half.
Oh, yeah, those are the worst.
Yeah. Okay.
So a little bit of an update for you because this is a very big game. WNBA, the finals are going on right now, if you didn't know. Tonight is game four. They're about 2 minutes away from halftime. The Liberty are leading the Lynx 41-38. If the Liberty win tonight, it's all over.
Good thing I lost that question on the arena, and JBT got it, and he was wrong.
What was the question?
He said the Liberty would toast. And I said, nah. And then I somehow lost.
I'll be honest. The Lynx should probably be up 2-1 right now.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
But the same logic using that, Lynx should probably be down like they are, but in a different way, down 2-1 because of game one.
Yeah.
Game one, Liberty had a 15-point lead with 5 minutes to go. Lynx came back, went to overtime. They ended up winning. Game three, Lynx had a 15-point lead. Liberty came back, and then Sabrina Ionescu hit a logo three with 1 second left.
Oh, well.
The greatest Bryant descendant right there, Sabrina Ionescu, if I'm saying her name right.
Oh.
She's a descendant.
Really?
She's a descendant of Kobe Bryant. She learned under the Mamba.
Wow. Oh, descendant. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's
not descendant.
Not,
like,
no.
Like a, you mean like a...
she's not related to
like
Kobe
a,
Bryant.
Like a pupil of Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Pupil,
okay.
Yes. I guarantee.
Descendant normally means you're related, so that's why I didn't know. Like,
no.
Oh, I got my
she
education.
She is of the Kobe
Vegas.
Bryant basketball tree.
I have no education. Don't feel bad.
She's of the basketball tree from Kobe Bryant.
Well, luckily for the Lynx, if they lose, it doesn't matter because nobody's watching now that Caitlin Clark's gone anyway.
So. That's not true. Not true at all. They're averaging over 1 million views per game. There are quite a bit of people watching.
2.2 million with Caitlin Clark.
Probably, yes. Nah, maybe not 2.2.
I'm just busting chops. I really don't care.
No, this has been a tremendous series, and I posed a question this morning on the show. Is this series better than last year's series? Which was Liberty and Aces.
Hell no.
No.
I think otherwise. I understand hometown team Aces won the championship last year. Yes.
Yeah.
I understand that is better for this town. However, from an excitement standpoint, from like just crazy wild games, I think this year is a lot better.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Griffin, you can get on this too. Do you think you could live off the grid? Because I've seen this before where people online are like, oh, man, things are so much better back in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up. I'm like, dude, if you had to live on 80s, 90s technology, like if this stuck you there now, you would cut your throat in about 40 minutes. Like I go nuts when the Wi-Fi goes out. I can't even imagine living like in the woods somewhere with no.
Oh, yeah.
Like I love being out there. Don't get me wrong. I love outdoors and stuff and going out in the middle of nowhere. But to live out there with no nothing. You could do that?
No, I don't think I. As much as I would love to say that I could and I want to, I don't know if I could do that.
Like no internet, I'm done. There's no way I could have no internet.
See, I mean that's whatever, but like I need to be able to communicate with people.
Dude,
so
you
need
the
phone.
Internet, dude. Don't use the internet for the whole weekend. Let me see what happens.
I literally can't do that.
Why?
Work.
Okay. So how are you gonna work if you're living in the woods with no internet?
Well, if I'm off the grid, that means I'm self-sustainable.
Is that what that means?
Yes, that means you don't need...
I thought it just means you don't have any phone or internet or anything.
No, it means you're self-sustainable. You don't need anything.
Oh.
Anyways.
I'm not self-sustainable.
We're here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on down, hang out. Yankees up 3-1, top of the third. You have been listening to Cofield & Company with Danny and Greg. Cofield will be back Monday, tomorrow. UNLV versus Oregon State. It's going to be a great game. See you later.
What about your show?
Oh, yeah. Tune in tomorrow. We got Throw the Flag from 9 to 11. Me and Jerry.
That's what I was looking at.
It's gonna be
great. Like, come on, man.